Well, hello, everyone. I'm James Dobson, and you're listening to Family Talk, a listener-supported ministry. In fact, thank you so much for being part of that support for James Dobson Family Institute.
Welcome to Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh. You know, Mother's Day is just around the corner, and now is a great time to remember and honor your mother and the special mother figures in your life as well. You know, for all the things they do, from packing school lunches to shuttling kids to and from practice, staying up all night with a sick child, well, most importantly, it's probably all the listening that your mom did and just having her being there for you. But who is there for mom to listen to her when she needs someone to reach out to, maybe in the middle of the night, to talk to, or to pray with? Well, on today's edition of Family Talk, our guests Becky Thompson and her mom, Susan Pitts, have the answer. As they talk with our own Dr. Tim Clinton, they'll be discussing the Midnight Mom Devotional, which is not just a book, it's an online social media phenomenon. Becky Thompson is an author and speaker. She's also the founder of the Midnight Mom Devotional Facebook page, an interactive community which reaches a global audience. Becky lives in Nashville with her husband, Jared, and their three children. Now, Susan Pitts is Becky's mom, and together with her daughter, she co-wrote the Midnight Mom Devotional. It's a book for moms based on their Facebook group of that same name. You know, I think it's really cool that a mother and her adult daughter pray together and work to encourage other ladies to pray in an online fellowship as well. Susan and her husband, Mark, have one adult daughter in addition to Becky and are blessed with three grandchildren. Here now is Dr. Tim Clinton with Becky Thompson and Susan Pitts on this special edition of Family Talk.
Hello and welcome into Family Talk. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, co-host here of the broadcast. I'm honored to serve alongside Dr. Dobson as a resident authority on mental health and relationships here at JDFI, the James Dobson Family Institute. And in addition, I serve as president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm excited you've joined us today because you're going to hear from two moms who are doing God's work and ministering to other moms, Becky Thompson and her mom, Susan Pitts. They're here to talk about Midnight Mom Devotional. Hey, welcome to Family Talk, both of you.
Thanks for having us, Dr. Clinton.
Thank you so much.
As we get started, I have a granddaughter. Her name is Olivia Ann, and I'll tell you what, it's fascinating. It's everything we were told it would be and more.
Yes.
Being grandparents, it's beautiful. Yes. It's also been a fascinating journey to watch human development all over again.
Yes.
And to hear the stories, the midnight stories.
Yeah. Yes.
Tell us a little bit about this piece of work that you guys are doing. I already know how much it would mean to my daughter.
Oh, sure. So sweet. Well, what we've realized as, you know, having this ministry for moms is that the midnight hours are some of the loneliest hours. And here's why. This is when all of the fears and uncertainties and really the things that you've done throughout the day that you wish you could do over or things that you wish you could add to your day rise to the surface of a mom's heart, you know, and there's nobody to call and say, oh, can we process this together? Can we talk this out? Everybody's supposed to be asleep, but the little secret is that mamas, most of us, rarely sleep. So, you know, when we sat down to work together, the book is actually based on our online ministry by the same name, Midnight Mom Devotional, where nearly a million moms gather nightly on Facebook to pray. It's really incredible.
Every night?
Every night.
A million moms?
A million moms. So here's what that statistic actually looks like. 18 months ago, we had 20,000 followers on the page, Midnight Mom Devotional, and we would post a simple prayer for moms. You know, tonight we pray for the mama who feels alone. Tonight we pray for the mama who feels overwhelmed or tired or whatever that certain circumstance was. And then, you know, moms would share it. They'd say, this was me tonight. This prayer was for me. I wonder how many other moms feel the same way that I do.
So something legit has to be happening because it's got to be resonating. Otherwise, people aren't going to follow.
Exactly.
Yeah. Talk to me about community, because we know that we're a lonely people. I think the pace and the pressures, and by the way, the pains of modern day life, you know, isolate us, and we're not made to be alone. And so knowing that there's someone out there who, by the way, just understands.
That's it.
And they're able to verbalize maybe what I'm feeling, How important is that? What are you finding?
It's everything, Dr. Clinton. I think this is one thing we're realizing about motherhood is that we're so busy and you feel like you can't reach out horizontally. We know we have access to the Father and through His Son, Jesus, we can reach out in the Spirit and take hold of the truth that God makes available to us through His Word and through His Son. But we need the connection horizontally as well. We need to know that we have vertical connection and horizontal connection, that we can reach out and say, this is what I'm experiencing. And the neat thing about the prayer is that we get to voice the heart of the mother, and then she can have hope attached to it. I'm not just saying, I'm overwhelmed. It's thousands of women saying, I'm overwhelmed. And then they go, well, I'm not the only one. We're all overwhelmed. And if we're all overwhelmed, what does that mean? And what is the anchor of hope? And the truth is, the anchor of hope is Jesus for all of us. But the practical help, well, that looks a little different for all of us.
Are you guys like sharing tips about what to do, or do you see people doing any of that?
What we kind of pride ourselves on with our Facebook page and then through the book is saying, you know, there are a lot of people who can give practical advice and say, you know, you're walking through this specific season, we've got advice for you.
Baby's got colic or something, you know? And
want to know something interesting? I'm a part of a lot of mom groups on Facebook, not just ones that I read and lead, but ones that I sort of kind of exist in, but they don't really know I'm there. I'm just watching different mom groups. And if I need advice about something, I might even post in there. But there's a lot of contention sometimes, you know, in these mom groups, because there is
going at each other, you mean?
Yeah, of course.
Really?
Of course. Yes, sir. Because because there's a right way of doing everything. Oh, there's a right way. And nobody has the right way. Nobody actually knows what the right way is. Of course, professionals get to say what the safest way is, and we listen to those, you know, professionals and that good advice. But the right way? Oh, we all have different right ways, because for each of us, that right way might look a little bit different.
You guys take on some pretty significant issues in your prayers.
That's true.
Like being anxious, you know, or angry, or like you were saying, isolated and alone.
We do address the hard places of motherhood as well. Not just the hidden places, but the places that are so hard that they're so hard to even talk about. And we provide a safe place for that. And nightly, the women come by the thousands to share that they have experienced that hard place. And just the fact knowing that someone else has experienced that, we address things such as recent loss, young widows, miscarriage, stillbirth, infant loss, anxiety, depression. We try to address lots of topics that perhaps aren't front center on Sunday mornings, perhaps that aren't brought from, you know, the average pulpit or even in the average mom's group. We go to the really deep places sometimes, but when we go there, we find tens of thousands of women that have been there, and the relief to just know that others have been there, and now we as a community are praying tonight together. It's amazing, and it's powerful, and the prayer is powerful, because that's what we basically do.
We pray.
We are praying mamas.
And, you know, you mentioned these areas. Yes. You know, you mentioned the loss and the stillbirth, and you mentioned anxiety and depression and mental health issues and financial issues and all these things. And those aren't typically thought of as motherhood issues. You know, this isn't, I have a preschooler or I have a toddler, or what do I do when I'm in a disagreement with, you know, this other mom? How do I heal that friend? These aren't typically what you think of when you think of motherhood. But I think we all know that a mother's life, it's a 360 view. There's so many other parts that play into her motherhood.
Mm, I love that. When you guys are up online and you all are praying, take us there. What's it like? I mean, is there a prayer like out of the devotional that you post? I mean, what's going on?
We like to do this in the moment. These are not scheduled out necessarily. A few maybe, but generally speaking, these are not scheduled out. So at 7 o'clock every evening, we start to text. We'll start to say, who are we praying for tonight? Which mama has the Lord laid on your heart today? Because we'll start to pray for that mama.
And this is just a text conversation between the two of us. This isn't something we're posting online. This is...
Oh, this is between the two of you.
This is between the two of us.
I didn't
think
I made that clear.
So you guys are initiating your ministry.
So yes,
together.
7 o'clock.
Together. Okay, who are we praying for tonight?
Who are we praying for tonight?
Who are we praying for tonight?
Yeah, because that's really what you're doing in the Devo, too. Because I was reading through them. You pick a mama.
Yes.
The mom who's deployed.
Yes.
I saw that. To the mom, who has horrible anxiety tonight.
Yes.
She's terrified.
Yes. So at 7, we start to text each other and we say, who has the Lord laid on your heart? Has he showed you somebody, kind of given you a heart picture of who you want to pray for tonight? And then one of us will generally know and say, I've been praying for her all day. And so we will compose the prayer, generally speaking, with one mother in mind.
With one person. Sometimes it's a mom that we know in our real life who's going through a situation. And then we take the situation that she is going through specifically and we make it a general prayer for other moms facing the same type of hardship. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we have prototype mom, just a mom that we know that we can pull from and say, we pray for the mom whose husband is working a lot of hours this week. And then we write that prayer and they're so short. They're just little. They're not long prayers. And the beauty is we address her need. We speak to the Lord and we ask him to meet her need. And then we simply offer peace or hope. We say, Lord, you know what this mom needs in this situation. You know, this isn't some big,
it's just us. We're not a part of a large back office ministry. We are literally the Midnight Mom devotional team, Becky and I. And we do this just as a mother and daughter. Every night at 8:30, we put the prayer online. Right about that time, we'll put the prayer online and we will sit there and in astonishment and in praising the Lord, we will watch it and it will go so fast. It will go to almost 2,000 people liking and sharing on the Facebook community in less than 1 minute or 2 minutes. It will fly. We'll just say, Lord, let your word, let your prayers go out. Let them go out and reach the places where women are not connected yet. And then what I do, and I know what Becky does when she has time, because she's a young mom, but what I do is I will stay. I have a little gingham couch. I call it my gingham prayer couch. I will stay on that couch and I will just start praying. And the prayer request will come in. We'll get almost sometimes, I mean, hundreds, and I'll start messages and I'll just start praying for them as personally as I can.
Wow.
And we'll do that until it slows down.
Becky and I have done a couple of things, interviews before together, and she's known to so many, millions. It must be joy in your heart. But what I like hearing here is I like this multi-generational thing and how there's a connection that seems to really probably resonate with everybody out there. You hear what I'm saying?
That's right.
Because the two of you talking together and praying together, and people get that. Yeah. I remember a song, an old hymn, growing up as a boy, My Mother's Prayers Have Followed Me.
Yes.
You know that?
Yes.
And when I think about that, I think everybody out there knows that Mama has been praying for me since I was knee-high.
Mm-hmm.
You know that? And there's something powerful about when women come to pray, not minimizing men, but when women pray.
That's right.
Praying women. I grew up in the country that we'd say this, they'd put the dogs up under the bed, if you know what I mean. Yeah, they do. I mean, because there's something that's going on that resonates at the heart level.
Yeah.
Tell us about Becky growing up real quick.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I want to hear some of this.
Well, I'll tell you a story about how part of the Midnight Mom got started a little bit was way back in the beginning when I was getting ready to have her and my husband was out of town on a business trip. And so I went to the hospital to have her. Pretty much I was by myself. I was young. My community was back east and I was in Oklahoma. And so I was having this little baby by myself and at the hospital, of course, and everything went well. But I love to tell the story about how after I came home, we were so close to that hospital that I could see the White Cross from my back door and how nightly I would pray for those mamas that might be in that hospital by themselves. So one of the other things I did as a young mom was I would always journal my prayers. And this is one of my favorite Becky stories. When she wrote her first book and she had her first book contract, I went back to the year that she was born and I looked in one of my prayer books and I had prayed that the Lord would make her be able to minister to other moms. Mm. She was a baby. She was still inside. I was pregnant, and I prayed that she would have a ministry to women in the hard places.
I'm going to have you start praying for me.
It was so good.
She was
rambunctious and fun, and she has always had the favor of God on her life. We talk about that all the time. Becky made a little CD when she was in the fourth grade.
Yes,
it's
your
the
mom
truth.
Tell you about you. She made you.
Wait,
I want some more of this stuff.
She was so blessed of the Lord. She made they had an art contest in the state of Oklahoma. And one day she came home, she said, Mama, I'm going to have a billboard. And I said, what, honey? She said, oh, I did something in class and they're putting it on a billboard. So she went to the governor and met the governor's mansion. And we have a picture of her standing outside of her billboard. And this is what her life has been kind of like, that God has favored her in a way that has allowed her to expand her ministry, because we do kingdom work. She does kingdom work, and that's the main thing. It's all this has led to kingdom work for her.
It reminds me of that passage. I think it was Paul writing about Timothy, the unfeigned faith that was first in your grandmother,
yeah,
and then in your mother, and I'm confident is also in you, Timothy.
Amen.
You know, that so multi-generational good. Flow, it's beautiful, isn't it?
It's amazing. Yeah. I mean, I have a legacy.
Hey, that's Deuteronomy 6 work, you know, that yeah. that we really are to be about our faith in such a way that we post it and it influences our children
yeah.
and our children's children.
That's right.
You know that? You're listening to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, your host today. And we have in studio with us Becky Thompson. You know her, mommy blogger, par excellent, I mean, and a writer with an amazing gift. Her mother, Susan Pitts, is here with us in studio. It's a delight to have her. She's telling a couple of stories about Becky, and we're going to get some more out of her here in just a moment. But coming back to the interview, Becky, hope is a big word for you. You have a little book on that?
I do have a little book on that.
Talk to us about the significance of hope and young moms and finding our way.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I think there's a little quote that I was asked to submit. The publishing house that I'm with was creating a coloring book, which is great, but they said, do you have a little quote that you might want to put in the coloring book that we could kind of make into art? And anyway, long story short, I was driving down the road, and my new book at that time, back in 2016, was called Hope Unfolding. It's still available. It's a great resource for moms. Hope Unfolding. And I thought, what can I incorporate in hope? And it just sort of sprang up in my heart. Hope is best when shared. And I believe that. And it sort of became a motto for my ministry. Hope is best when shared. And what I mean by that is, if you have a belief that things won't always be the way they are right now, and in motherhood, that's important for a couple of reasons. We need to know that we need to embrace the moment that we're in, because they're going to change. But also, when we're in the hard places, that we're not stuck in those moments forever, that we can eventually sort of lead up out of them, that we can share that hope with others. We can say, this is what I believe to be true. This is what I'm standing on today. And we can invite other women, other moms, other people in other seasons of life, or similar seasons of life, to stand on that common hope. So I think hope is best when shared, and I think hope is important, because if you have hope, you really have everything you need for tomorrow.
Yeah. So coming back to this issue of praying, there's hope in it.
Yes.
Because it's like, okay, we get to go to the throne of grace and ask God to be in our moment.
Yeah.
That I'm not alone, even though I may feel alone, even though it may be 1:40 in the morning or 3 a.m. And I've got a fevered child and it's been rough.
Yes.
God, help me, speak to me, you know that? Mm-hmm. And going to a community where I'm getting reinforcement.
Yes.
Talk to me about the faith element and how women are going there, you know, that through your Facebook page, through the Midnight Devotional.
You know, one thing about all of this, Dr. Clinton, is that we want to connect women to the heart of the Father. We want to connect women into a relationship with the Lord that might not previously have any experience in having a relationship with the Lord. They haven't been taught how to pray. Maybe their moms haven't taught them how to pray.
Exactly.
Maybe they don't have grandmothers who taught them how to pray.
Or they could be in a place where they don't feel very pretty before God.
That's right.
There may be some stuff, you know, that Richard Foster, in his classic book on prayer, one of the lines I took from that book was, he said, one of the greatest deterrents to an active prayer life is the belief that all has to be right in order to pray.
Right. And, you know, Mom shared something very recently with me about this idea, and that is that sometimes we put prayer in such a small box. It has to look like this. I have to be alone. I have to have this type of mindset. I need to say these words first before I say anything else before the Lord. And really, sometimes our being is a prayer. Sometimes we can have a communication with God or a conversation with God because He hasn't left the room. We don't have to have this whole grand word choice. We can just say, I know you're here and I really need your help. You know, I know you're with me, God. Lord, I don't like the way I've been acting. I don't like what I've been doing. Can you just help? Can you help?
I always feel like my life is a prayer. I don't know how to explain it, except when I sigh before the Lord, it's a prayer. When I sing, it's a prayer. When I am doing my dishes, and thinking and praying to the Lord, it's a prayer. Part of just our motherhood is an act of prayer that we live being mindful of the Lord.
And so we try to invite women into a broader understanding of how they can communicate with the Lord so freely and so openly, and how Jesus, through his love and sacrifice and then resurrection, made that available. And so taking prayer outside of this box of how it has to look and how it has to be has brought freedom to the hearts of mothers to remember that the resource that they really need is right there in the room with them, and they can always ask him for help or hope or encouragement or support in any season, in any situation.
I love what you say about just being continually in an attitude of prayer.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And actually believing that God is there for you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let me throw one more piece out here before we go away, and that is to the young mom who is discouraged, who feels like her prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. She's trying, and it's not connecting, and she feels... Mm-hmm. terribly disconnected, and it's like, I want this and I'm trying and I'm lost. What do you say to her?
We remind her that the God who loves her never leaves her, and that she might not hear him in the way that she wanted to hear him answer. She might not have that clear direction or that clear hope or that clear insight or wisdom or whatever it is that she's been after, but that God is as close as her breath, and he holds her, and there isn't one word that she's ever spoken that he's missed, that he has caught every word and every tear and every sigh, and he loves her.
Amen.
And even when she doesn't feel or hear him like she has in previous seasons, that he hasn't abandoned her, and he has hope for her and a future for her, and it won't always be the way it is right now. And she will have seasons when she hears him clearly and the sun shines on her heart and she looks back and sees what he was doing in this quiet season of life.
Yeah. Thank you for the gift I think you've given to us all. Midnight Mom Devotional, almost 1 million followers now on the Midnight Mom Devotional Facebook page.
That's right.
And what they're doing is they're speaking into the hearts of mamas. Hey, the hand that rocks the cradle still rules the world.
That's right.
And you know what? We need to encourage her. Some babies can grow up to be strong young men and women, you know that,
yes.
who do the same thing for their babies. This is all about multi-generational flow.
That's right.
And transmission. You guys, it's a beautiful gift to write out a prayer because it gets it started.
That's right.
It helps them get into and say things maybe they can't even verbalize.
That's right.
And then God does the work.
That's right.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Well, what an encouraging message for all moms from Becky Thompson and her mom, Susan Pitts, today here on Family Talk. You know, since this program originally aired about 3 years ago, that Facebook page, Midnight Mom Devotional, now has almost 2 million followers. What a blessing it is for moms all over the world. Just a brief reminder that Family Talk is a completely listener-supported broadcast outreach. We want to continue to provide you God-honoring programs that you'll enjoy and that will also enrich your life as well. You can find us online at drjamesdobson.org. And once you're there, you'll see all the tremendous resources that we have for parents, basically for Christians of all ages, to support you and them in your faith walk amidst a confused culture. Please bear in mind that your tax-deductible donations allow us to create even more resources for families everywhere. So remember, you can make a donation through the mail when you write to us at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute, P.O. Box 39000, Colorado Springs, Colorado, the zip code 80949. Let me repeat that. The Dr. James Dobson Family Institute, P.O. Box 39000, Colorado Springs, Colorado, the zip code 80949. When you write to us, remember you can also send in your comments about the program, your feedback, notes of encouragement, or even questions you might have for Dr. Dobson and the team. Now, you can find us online, as I mentioned, at drjamesdobson.org, and you'll find information about how you can make a donation there. And also keep in mind our phone number. If you'd like to speak with a member of our staff, that number is 877-732-6825. That's 877-732-6825. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for joining us today. Be sure to join us again tomorrow for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Till then, God's richest blessings to you and your family.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Tim Clinton for Family Talk. Where do you go to receive support and advice for your family? You know, we interact with thousands of people every day through our Facebook page. There you're going to find inspiring advice on what matters most to you. Whether it's marriage or parenting, you can be sure our profile will keep you updated with how your family can succeed. Visit us at facebook.com/ Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Each day, you're going to find our latest broadcast, helpful resources, inspirational pictures and quotes. Nowhere else are you going to be able to start your day with a thought from Dr. Dobson, as well as a special message before you go to sleep. Remember, you can be sure that every post on our page is created with you and your family in mind. Take time to visit us and become a part of our online community on Facebook, will you? Simply go to facebook.com/Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.